Yes. Is good. So let's pray right now. And I know God has really touched them and given them a word. And Bob is somebody who really seeks after God for what he's going to give to us today. So, Father, we give you thanks.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
We give you praise. And, Father, we lift up our brother now as he steps to the podium to bring forth your word. Lord, I know that he's labored over this word. It's not just something that he's conjured up, something he's thrown together quickly. But, Lord, something that he's prayed about, something he's meditated upon. And, Lord, something that he studied with great diligence. Now, Father, we pray your anointing upon our brother as he brings forth your word today.
Yes.
And, Lord, may the Spirit of God move not just upon him, but all of us that hear. Lord, may we not just be hearers of this word, but may we take hold of it and be doers of it.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, we thank you and we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Don said he's bringing me up to the podium here. Well, I'm going to stay one step down. I want to be among my fellow sinners. I want to get down here with us sinners, right? Oh, don't huff now. Who's without sin? Throw the first rock. If you're not a sinner, you're excused. You can go home. If not, for the rest of us, especially myself, we need to be here today, right? Right. The difference is that our sins are forgiven. Right?
Amen.
That's the difference. Amen? We have a God that loves us. What have we been talking about all year? Not all year. It's only the beginning of the year. It's not that far into it, but we've been talking about getting to know God. How many people here want to get to know God? Do you believe we should get to know God? Do you think God wants us to know him? Ah, now there's the key. If God wants us to know him, do you think he will make a way for us to do that? Yes. Now, it's hard for us to understand things in the spiritual sometimes, but we understand the physical a lot better than the spiritual, right? Things we can see, things we can touch. And I say to you this morning that I think God created us in a physical way to get to know him in a spiritual way. I say this because look around. We're all basically, we're created in his image, but basically we're all created the same. One head, two ears, one nose, two eyes, a couple legs, some feet. You know, we might be different height, different hair colors, different skin colors. I might be prettier than most of you. But basically, we're all created the same, right? I think part of that, the way God created us, is to get to know him. And that's very important. Let's start off at the top. Always start at the top, right, Pastor? Our mind. Everybody, well, let me look around first. Yeah, everyone here has a mind, right? Now, why did God give us a mind? So we can color in between the lines? So we can drive a car? No. To get to know the mind of Christ. You want to know God? You need to know the mind of Christ. And what was the mind of Christ? You remember those bracelets you used to wear? What would Jesus do? I never liked those things. They made no sense to me because I read the Bible. What would Jesus do? How many times did he heal people? Dozens and dozens. But you know, each time was different, right? So each time you got to learn something new on what he would do. You never knew what Jesus was going to do. What we need to learn is how Jesus thinks, what his mindset is. And that was simple. What does it say? In all things, before Jesus did anything, what did he do? He went to the Father. I do nothing unless I'm led. Correct? We were talking about 1 Corinthians this morning, the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Would you put that up, please? But we have the mind of Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, we can know Christ's mind. We can have the ability to go in front of God and learn his mind. To know God, we have to have the mind of Christ. And that's something that's obtainable by simply listening and doing. Listening to God and do what he asks. Amen? If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, right? Now, that's a good start. But what? How else are we created? We have ears. Do we have ears? Anybody doesn't have ears? Well, yours just don't work. They're like mine. We have them. They just don't work too well sometimes. All throughout scriptures, from Matthew all the way to Revelation, there was one thing that was kept being said over and over. Let him who has ears hear. Let him who has ears hear. Hear what? The beautiful music that we heard up here today? The Word of God is what we need to hear. We have, how many ears did I say? Two. All right, you guys are good. And that's because God's word is delivered in a couple different ways. His written word is what you're hearing right now. What I'm giving you is not me, it's God. It's the written word. And what does God say about the written word? It is written. Smart. God's word is written, and I'm going to read. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's Matthew 4:4. In Proverbs 3:5, the word of God is flawless. He is a shield for those to take refuge in. Isaiah 40:8. The grass withers and flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. Luke 11:28. He replied, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. What we can learn here about the word of God is it brings life. It's flawless. It's flawless. There's very little other than the word of God except God himself that's flawless. It's forever. It's unchanging. But the bottom line, none of that is any good without obedience. We have to be obedient. To hear God's word is to know him. You can know somebody by listening to him. You want to know God better? Listen. We're real good at talking to God, but are we real good at listening to God? You know, he might ask me to do something I don't want to. I might be uncomfortable, right? I don't like being uncomfortable. I like comfort. Amen? All right. How else? Here, where is Sammy? I'll be the dummy here. What else do we have in the physical? Eyes, right? Now, how many of those do we have? Two. Right, John? You had on your sunglasses there a minute ago. I wasn't sure. I'm glad you took them off. I wanted to make sure. John's got two eyes, too. It's good to see you, John. Give John a hand. It's great to have him here. I know it was an effort to get here, but I know you've really missed it, and we've missed you, too. Amen? But how many eyes do we have? Two. Two different eyes. Hi. What's your name?
Aaron.
Aaron? Is this your first time here? Ah, I kind of guessed that. I'd never seen you before. Is this a friend of yours?
Yes.
What kind of a friend?
My girlfriend.
Oh, okay. You're a lucky guy. Well, it's good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you.
It's good you have a girlfriend. I say that because you have problems trusting sometimes. But God really loves you. You're not a fancy dresser, but you're really fastidious in everything that you do. You like an order. You like things a certain way. But your greatest gift is you have a real eye. You don't say much sometimes, except to those that you're close to, but you always have your eyes open. If there was ever an accident and I needed a witness, you could remember everything that happened, right? Every detail, what color shirt, time of day, where the sun was. That's a gift from God. Amen? All right. Now, where was I? Eyes. Thank you. Thank you. Eyes. The eyes have it. Why two eyes? Must be a couple reasons. Anybody ever hear the saying, I have the eye of God? I hope not, because I just made it up. Yeah, before everybody raised their hand, yeah. There's two ways that we can see God. We can't physically see a non-physical God, can we? Would you put up Isaiah 40, 26, please? Gosh, you're fast today. Thank you. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all this? Let me give you a clue. Genesis 1, who created all this? God created everything. It's a simple test. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each one of them by name. Now you guys know me, I'm terrible at names, right? Could you imagine that God knows the name of every star in the universe which has no end? That's amazing, isn't it? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not of one of them is missing. The heavens are perfect because they were built by a perfect God. And each and every one of us was built by the same God and are perfect in his eyes. Remember that. We may not live up to that sometimes, but he knows that too. Right? All right. To see nature is to see God. I know Pastor John loves to get out and camp and go to all these beautiful national parks and stuff. At night, he always comes back with the great stories of the campfires, looking up at the stars and stuff. Anybody ever stand by the ocean? Does it make you feel small and insignificant to look out at that ocean? It's because we are compared to God and his creation. But what a beautiful thing he created in this world, right? So to see God, we can see him in the things that he created, the beauty of this world. Even the man-made things, architecture, things like that. Some of us guys love the lines on a car, right? It's just that we can see God in symmetry, in the perfection he brings. We may not be able to see him in the spiritual, but we can definitely get an idea of his heart and mind from the beauty he's produced. And since we have two eyes, one is to look at those things. The second is to look at his people. To see God's people is to see God. People were created with the ability to do the greatest evil, but also the greatest good. What is the difference? Those that have God and those that don't have God, just like Pastor John said, that's it. We were all evil without God. I'm sorry, you can say you were a nice guy. Hell is full of nice people. It's God that makes us who we are. It's God that changed us. I would not stand up here and lie to you. If God left my life, I'd probably be right back the same way I was before. Amen? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I just sin more than most, so I need more grace than most. In John 10:32, Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? Wow, sometimes we do great works. We think we're going to get a pat on the back, and sometimes we get stoned. Right, Fred? Yep. Amen. There's a guy, him and his lovely wife, they do everything around here, right? How many here thanked him this morning? It's not that we don't care. Sometimes we just don't do that. We just don't think of it. But for all of us, thank you, Fred, right? Give him a hand. Him and his lovely wife, Esther, had breakfast this morning. It was Alma's turn. She wasn't feeling well today. She called real late, but Esther stood in the gap, come in, and she fixed breakfast last week, right? Not for a pat on the back, but because she knew she was doing God's work. Amen? Feeding me this morning. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. The only acts that we do that count are the ones that God asks us to do. I've often said Christianity is simple. Christianity is simple. We make it hard. It's not easy. Now, there's a difference between simple and easy, but it's simple. Listen to God and do what he says. If we all did that, think of what a world we'd have. And I'm speaking to myself, too, believe me. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works. You were created to work, which God prepared in advance. God knows what work he has set for you. And when you're doing that, we can see the people like Fred Nestor that stepped out this morning for no reason other than they cared. They knew there was something God wanted them to do. That's where we see God in people, right? We can see an attribute of God, a spiritual attribute. And the greatest thing you can be in this kingdom is what? A minister? An apostle? What's the greatest thing you can be in the kingdom? Thank you. What did Christ say? To be a servant. That's the greatest thing, is to serve. To know God is to do good. To do good is to know God. Amen? I love coming in. I know Pastor Don says this all the time. Loves coming in here and just seeing God's people because you see God in them. Amen? I love coming in here and seeing you guys. Another thing that we all have in common, Steve, a mouth. Well, I can't pick on him too much. That's my nephew. But I just spoke 45 minutes this morning. I'm up doing another 45 minutes. And Steve could do that before he cleared his voice. Amen? Let me read a couple verses in Acts 4:18. And they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus Christ, the apostles. Acts 5:40, his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Many more stories. Do you know what happened then? Can anybody guess? Both those stories. What happened then? After they were beaten, flogged, and told not to speak again. They went right out and started speaking again. They said, forgive me, I can't help but do this. This is what we are created to do, to give God the credit. Give the praise for everything that we do good, not the bad. We need to give credit and bring glory to God. I don't do anything without God's hand in it, right? Good isn't in me. It's only those things that God does through me that are good. But we need to give him the credit. It's so easy sometimes when we do something good and somebody just says, why, thank you. You're such a nice guy. You're such a nice lady. I never let that pass. To the chagrin of my wife, I always tell him, I'm not nice. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, if I wasn't saved, I'd be robbing this joint or mugging you right now. That gets people's attention. But actually, it's the truth. The good isn't us. The only good that's in us is God. If you see any good in me, it's God in me, and the same in every one of us. Another reason that God gave us a mouth is to pray. Prayer is very important. In Proverbs 15:8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. Who are the uprights? Those that have stood up and give their life to him. Amen? He hears our prayers. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer. That's what you're in, a house of prayer. He says what? Don't make it a den of robbers. This is a house of prayer. Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, on all kind of prayers. Is there anything that we can't pray for? I love the story. When I first got saved, the senior pastor was Ed Mannering. And I'd just been saved, kind of taking me under his wing a little bit. He said, he was going shopping. He said, "You want to come along?" I said, "Sure." So I'm going to get some socks. I thought, wow, this is going to be exciting. Somehow I'm going to learn a lesson out of buying a pair of socks. Okay, I'm game, Lord. We go into this place, and he goes, it was Sears, actually, right up here in Lincoln Park. He goes over to the socks, looks at them, starts praying. What? Everybody's looking at us. You know, I'm kind of new at this. I don't know what's going on. And afterwards, on the way home, I said, "Why would you pray over buying a pair of socks?" You know? Back then, half the time, I didn't even wear socks. Why would I pray about what socks to wear? He said, "You know, I felt the same way till one day I went to buy a pair of socks. I got a pair, plain black ones, were walking away, and God said to me, 'Are those ones I told you to buy?'" He said he looked up and said, "Well, no." So he went back over and prayed, and God had him buy a pair of socks that looked like Kevin's shirt. He said these are the ugliest thing he ever seen. I'll have mine out soon, so. I love Hawaiian shirts, too. He knows that. But he said he don't know why. He said it was a few months later that he's in a dentist's office, and God gave him a word for it. It was just him and one guy sitting there. And they looked over, and this guy, he said he just looked miserable. If you've seen people like that, they're pitiful. You know they need God bad. The world is just weighing this guy down. So he said, "Well, how in the world am I going to get in a conversation without this guy thinking I'm crazy?" And he said, right then, the guy crosses his leg, and he had on that same pair of ugly socks. And Pastor Ed said, "I can't believe it." He said, "I looked down, and I'd put mine on that morning." He said, "I looked over the guy and said, 'That's the ugliest socks I ever seen. The guy kind of looked like that.'" Then he raises up his leg, and he's seen his socks. Guy got saved before he got out of the dentist's office. Pray about everything on all occasions. But to get to know God, you have to know how to pray. How many here know how to pray? Okay. Most of our ideas of prayer is we have a list bigger than this telling God what we need. Or even if we're real spiritual, we've got a list of everybody else's needs. And we spend the next hour in prayer without shutting our mouth once, running down our laundry list. "Well, God, I want you to do that for her," and everybody will sound like one of those guys that work an auction. You know, the best prayer is when you don't say a word. You want to get to know God in prayer? Listen. Don't speak. You don't need to speak. He knows you. Remember, He created you. He doesn't need to get to know you. You need to get to know Him. Can you get to know somebody by talking to them? You get to know somebody by what? Listening to them. That's the hardest thing. People love a good listener, right? Sometimes the best thing you can do, so somebody comes to you and starts pouring their heart out. You want to immediately start telling them what to do. The best thing sometimes is just shut up and let them pour their heart out. Amen? That's all they need at that time. Somebody to listen. The world's not going to listen. To talk and to listen is to know God. Amen? We're not done yet. We got a few things left here. What are these?
Hands.
There was a ceremony to where all of the priests would have to come into the tabernacle, into the temple, with nothing on but a loincloth, and they would all stand towards the altar. They would have their heads down and their right hand up. And the high priest would go along and lay different things in their hands, fruits, nuts, wheat, gifts, something for nourishment. Now, what do you think God was telling them? Everything that you have, I gave you. Everything that you're ever going to have, I'm preparing for you. Everything you are is up to me and by me. You come into, how many people come into this world with a dollar bill in their hand? You come in here nothing except what? Crying and wanting, ah, gimme, gimme, gimme. I'm hungry. And that's how you're going to go out of this world too. I've often said I have never, I've seen many, many funerals in my day, many funeral processions, but I've never seen one with a Brinks truck behind the hearse. You can't take it with you. The only thing you have is what God give you. That's why they raise their right hand for God to place it in, to show what? Their dependency on Him. Now, if I'm dependent on somebody, if I was dependent on my next meal from Pastor John, I would want to know everything I could about him, right? Because I'd want to please him or I'm not going to get fed. I think you've overfed me, Pastor. We need to show and we need to understand our dependence on God. That's why the raised hand, to show our dependence on God. Psalm 134, 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. We praise the Lord in worship. We did that this morning, didn't we? Psalm 28:2. Hear me cry for mercy as I call for your help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. So like I said, we lift up our hands in prayer too, right? Empty hands. In Psalm 63:4, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. We lift our hands in praise. We did that this morning. And that was all I had there, but this morning God spoke to me, and I penciled in one thing. It was the same word that Carol had this morning, just about, if you remember, Carol had a word about surrender. And that's what I'd wrote in here. We also raise our hands in surrender and obedience. Amen? Surrender and obedience. One of my favorite verses, Isaiah 6:8. Here I am, send me. Not my will be done, but your will be done, Lord. We want to know those that we're dependent upon. All of us are dependent on God. It behooves us to know Him better, doesn't it? Now, you got one hand left. One hand's up here, one hand's down here. High five, low five? No, no bowling. Left-handed, I couldn't bowl right-handed. James 2, verse 14 through 17. It's the usual argument, or the old argument we hear all the time about faith and deeds. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if everyone claims to have faith, but no one has deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and says of you to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs. What good have you done for them? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. God, give us a hand to work, to help others, to be a servant. Amen? In John 10:25, I tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. Your good works testify about Christ in you, about God in you. John 9:3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened as the works of God might be displayed. God, our works display God. Some people, that'll be the closest they'll come to God, is to see one of you or hear one of you. Do not let an opportunity go by. But he has a prerequisite on this one. how we have to do these works and deeds. And that's simple too. In Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others over yourself. I often tell people, if you want to go out to witness, unless you can say, I love that person, don't even bother going up to them. You're wasting your time. Certainly not least, is our heart. Did you know your heart is important to God? Really? In Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Everything where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is where your heart will also be. What you treasure is what you're going to go for. That's where your heart is going to be. That's why it's so important to God. In Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Starts off with the heart. Sometimes the longest one foot in the universe is from our mind to our heart. Some of us get it up here, but it's never made it down here. And that's what God's looking for. Not a changed mind, a changed heart. Amen? To know God is to have a heart for Him. Amen? You want to know God, have a heart for Him. And lastly, what's at the bottom? Two of them, right? Pretty shoes. Yes. Feet. What good is everything I just spoke to you about if you don't take it and walk it out? Not a bit. Not a bit. You can sit here every Sunday looking pretty as can be, smiling all you want, and you've done nothing. You've saved yourself. He wants us to take that out. In Matthew 9:5, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? This was when he saved a crippled man. He healed him. He said, take up your mat and go. He didn't say sit here now and wiggle your toes so everybody can say you're healed. Take that and go. Get up. Take your mat and go. Take it into the world. Where do we go? He says, go. Where do I go? Matthew 14:29. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. God will always, the Holy Spirit will always lead us towards Jesus. Amen? Any place we're walking, we should not be walking away from our Lord. We should be walking toward Him because He always leads us. He's always in front of us. If you've got to stop and turn around and look behind you to see God, you better slow down a little bit. You're going to get in trouble. But how do we do this? Three easy steps. Isaiah 40:31. Three easy steps on how we walk this out. One, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How can we do it? Only through God's strength. Nothing else. But anything God asks you to do, He's going to give you the strength to do. Second thing, in obedience. Walk in obedience. Nothing else. When you stand before the Lord, is He going to say to you, Fred, how come you didn't save all of China? Well, Lord, you didn't ask me to. That's right, and He's not going to ask you that. He's going to ask you, did you guys make breakfast this morning, Esther? Yes, we did. That's the only thing He's going to ask you if you did, what He's asked you to do. We can do the greatest things in the world, and they mount for nothing unless it's God's will, God's direction. And the third thing, now this is a hard one, listening to God. I've mentioned this already, listening to God. Isaiah, God is always there. Isaiah 30:21, read this. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You know, sometimes we say, well, I don't hear that voice. Do you know why? First, we have to be in a position to hear it. Anybody hear that word last night when they were in the middle of watching that big fight? Or a hockey game or something like that? No, there's nothing wrong with being in a place like that, but is that a place you're usually going to hear a word from God? No, there's a time after. Have a time of prayer. Listen, put yourself in a position to hear. When somebody's talking to me, when I'm going like this, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to put myself in a position, right, Pastor, to hear them. Another reason we can't hear God is we don't want to hear God. We don't want to do what he asks. It's not comfortable. The third thing, and the most shameful sometimes, is we don't recognize his voice because we don't know him. If I called out about anybody here up on the phone, you'd know my voice immediately, right? Why? Because I can't shut my big mouth. You're always hearing me talk. But if you've never heard God's voice, how would you know it's God's voice? Amen? You'll never be closer to God than when you're walking out his plan, purpose, and will in your life. Each one of us, I think, know you've never been happier than when you're in God's plan, God's will, doing God's purpose. Amen? Amen. So I don't think we have an excuse for not knowing God. I think I showed that we are created to do that, right? We have everything in the physical we need to be able to do that. Amen? Could I have the prayer team, please? If anyone needs prayer, please come up. You want to get that closer walk? You want a little bit of help? That God will give you the strength. Come on up for prayer. But I'm going to end it with one thing. To know God is to love him. To love him is to obey him. To obey him is to know him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time, Father God. We thank you that you've gave us your word, Father God, that you never leave us in doubt, Father God, that you always are there to give us directions, and that direction is towards you and your son, Father God. Father, I pray you just continue touching your people. I pray that nobody leave here without a touch from you this morning, Father God. And Lord, we can do none of this or anything without your strength, and that's what we pray for. More of the Holy Spirit, more of you, more of your strength, to do what you asked us to do. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
As she slips in, trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know. Farther than they know. But if we are the body, why are